This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your precious time with me today. In the last handful of episodes of this podcast, we have talked about a wide variety of topics: hormones, mindset, money, and paying down debt. One thing that always helps me tremendously is getting your questions. And the reason it helps me is because it shows me what you need, where the gaps are between where you are and where you want to be, what challenges you're facing, what skills you need to practice. The other day on Instagram, I asked you guys to share your questions, and today I'm going to be answering them. And the reason for that is this is your show. I don't personally think about this podcast as my platform to share my opinions and what is going on in my life. I really see the podcast as a way for me to help you help yourself. And there's no better way to do that than to go directly to you and say, hey, what's up? What's going on? And how can I help? Which is precisely what we are doing today. I got a whole bunch of questions. Some of them are related to nutrition, some to mindset, some to fitness. But they all have one thing in common: helping you create more success and progress in your life. If you have a question or a topic that maybe you didn't share on Instagram or isn't covered in this episode, let me know. You can either direct message me on Instagram, you can send me an email, elizabeth@primalpotential.com, or you can comment on the show notes page for today's episode. The show notes page for today's episode, which will have links to the things we talk about today, is primalpotential.com/528, because this is episode 528. primalpotential.com/528, so you can leave a comment there with your question. And it doesn't mean that I'll be able to address every question, but I absolutely will if I feel it falls within my area of expertise. That is something that comes up quite often. If people ask me to do an episode on, let's just say, one that I've gotten a lot before, essential oils, you're not going to hear me talk about essential oils because I don't have any expertise in that. And I take this platform very seriously in that I will never just Google for 20 or 30 minutes, read a few other people's opinions, and then present it as my own strong opinion on something. I don't like that. It doesn't feel good to me. So I reserve this show for things where I have some level of expertise. That's not to say that a year from now, 6 months from now, even 6 weeks from now, I can feel more equipped to talk about things that I don't feel as equipped to talk about now. Just know that the show isn't a free-for-all in that I'm not going to share my opinion on everything under the moon because I feel that would be irresponsible. I'm going to share things about which I feel I have some degree of personal expertise. So let's dive into your questions. But before we do, so I don't forget, I want to share with you, as I have been doing recently, a workout that I did recently and loved, as well as a fat loss friendly meal that I ate recently and enjoyed. We'll start with the workout. I think this was from last Sunday. So if you follow me on Instagram, you surely saw that I posted it in my Instagram story. It started with a 50-calorie warm-up on the Airdyne bike. So Airdyne / assault bike is a special kind of torture, not like a regular bike at all. Definitely burns out those legs and lights up the lungs in a very unique and unpleasant kind of way. So 50-calorie warm-up just to get my body warm. Hence warm up. Gee, Elizabeth, that was brilliant. Anyway, then I did an EMOM. EMOM stands for every minute on the minute So every minute on the minute for a total of 10 minutes, I did 3 or 4 barbell snatches. It started with 4. Then as my form started to take a little bit more time to nail, I went down to 3. But 3 or 4 barbell snatches on the minute every minute for a total of 10 minutes. Then I rested before my actual workout, which was a 15-minute AMRAP. AMRAP, that stands for as many rounds as possible or as many reps as possible. So for 15 minutes, I was doing 2 movements, dumbbell snatch and burpees. And I started with 2 reps of each, and for 15 minutes every round, I was increasing by 2 reps. Might sound confusing, but it's really not. It went like this: 2 dumbbell snatch, 2 burpees. Then 4 dumbbell snatch, 4 burpees. 6 and 6, 8 and 8, 10, that comes next, and 10 until 15 minutes had gone by. Then I did a 100 cal bike cool down. It was funny when I was doing that 15 minute AMRAP. Actually, it wasn't funny. It was entirely unpleasant. It was a very hard workout. But 15 minutes when I started felt like forever away. And as I was going through the reps, I was thinking, well, maybe 10 is good. You know, I did that EMOM beforehand and I have to bike afterwards. 10 is probably good. And every time I would have that thought, I'd just be quiet, Elizabeth, and focus on your next rep. 10 minutes came and I was like, okay, maybe 12 instead of 15. Just 2 more good hard minutes. And then 12 came and I was like, just keep going. 1 rep at a time. Stop wasting your energy trying to talk yourself into a shorter workout. So I was really proud of myself when I got through the 15 minutes. A meal that I enjoyed recently. I've been super simple on the food front lately. And I think it's related to having finished the manuscript of my book and just needing a little bit of a buffer, a little bit less intensity in my schedule. So food has been so simple as sometimes buying a pre-cooked grilled chicken breast from the grocery store and just having that be dinner. Plain and simple. But when I got back from the gym yesterday, I opened up the fridge and I had 2 eggs, 2 slices of bacon, and an avocado. And that was my meal. I cooked the bacon and the eggs, put it in the bowl with a small avocado, and it was really, really good. So don't convince yourself that for food to be good, it needs to be complex and you need to spend 20 minutes cooking and all of that. It's just not what I have found to be true. Okay, let's get to your questions. These came in exclusively from Instagram, and I refer back to my thoughts on how you can share your question if you have one you'd like me to address. This one says, I noticed how early you wake up, you journal, you work out. It seems like you have some kind of routine. I'm always fascinated to learn about people's routines and hope you can talk about your morning routine and your night routine if you have one. How has it helped you? If you could talk specifically about how it would help with fat loss, if at all, that would be great. Okay, let's talk about that last part first. How a morning routine could help with fat loss. I'll say this. Feeling in control matters. Feeling in control matters. Chaos in your day, chaos in your schedule, chaos in your mind, it impacts your choices. What I have found to be true for me, and certainly seems to be true for the majority, if not all of my clients, when you feel calm and ordered in your thoughts, it allows you to have more order and rational thinking when you make decisions. My own experience, and this seems to be true with the clients who have been working with me for the longest, like my Master's Club clients, creating order in things that have nothing to do with food or fat loss makes it dramatically easier to create order with those other things. So you've heard me talk about how keeping my house clean and keeping my car clean is part of how I set myself up for success in my food choices. Because when I feel good in my surroundings, I am far more likely to make good choices. When everything is a mess, it creates more tension and stress and chaos in my mind, And that has a rollover effect onto my choices. So I try to systematize things in my life because it makes everything easier, which includes my food choices. Without a routine or a system, a habit, a pattern, everything takes way more energy. Without a routine, you waste so much energy with thoughts like, oh, where am I going to start? What should I do first? What needs to be done? When am I going to start? Should I go to the gym? When am I going to go to the gym? What will I do? And when you have a routine, you don't have to figure everything out every day. I personally have a sequence of events, and I have events that happen every single day. And because I've done it so many times and it feels automatic, it frees up a tremendous amount of energy. And that means I have more bandwidth. And when I have more bandwidth or more mental breathing room, I have an increased capacity to make good choices, whether those are good financial choices, good food choices, good choices in how I respond to people in my life, to circumstances, to conversations. When I automate things and free up energy, I can put that energy to other tasks, to other areas of my life that require more energy and bandwidth, like making good food choices. When my mornings are easier, I am less stressed, and I also have more time. And when I am less stressed and I have more time, I make better choices. My morning routine has absolutely changed over the years, and I know it will continue to change, and I'm always looking for ways to keep it fresh and keep myself consistent with it. I did an episode on my morning routine in episode 99, which I will link to in the show notes at primalpotential.com/528. Episode 99 was almost 3 years ago, and my morning routine is absolutely different now. It's probably more simple now than it was then, and that just comes from efficiency and practice, etc. And it'll be different 6 months from now. But I will tell you what it is right now, and if you want to know what it was almost 3 years ago, take a listen to episode 99. When I wake up, water first, then coffee. I work from home, so I get right into it. That works best for me. The reason I do that is because mentally I am sharpest and most focused and least distracted early in the morning. That means before my phone is ringing, before text messages are coming in, you know, before all of that, that's when I'm the most focused. So my morning routine begins with water. It's not a lot. If I have a few sips of water, great, good, done. I'm not holding myself to a standard of drinking a liter of water before I have coffee. I would just be like, oh my gosh, I want my coffee. So water, then coffee, then I get right into work. And I work in the same area of my house every day. So the night before, which I'll talk about more in a minute, I just make sure that I set a few things in my workspace. It simplifies my morning by just a tiny degree, but every little bit helps. So I make sure that my laptop, my journal, and whatever book or books I am reading are in my workspace. So water, then coffee. The first thing I do is check in with my 12 Weeks to Transformation and Masters Club groups on social media. Then I get caught up on emails. I respond to emails typically with voice notes, and the amount of time it takes to respond to emails really varies day to day. Some days of the week have a much higher volume of emails than others, but check in with my groups, I respond to emails, and then once those things are sort of off my mental radar, I grab my journal. And sometimes this is a minute, and sometimes it's 5 or 6 minutes, but it's never a lot of time. How I plan to win the day, I just write about in my journal. What it looks like today to win, what will make me proud, what I plan to eat, and when. So this morning before recording this podcast, when I sat down with my journal, I was thinking about, you know, what's on the docket for today? What would make me feel really proud today? What am I going to do to make myself happy today? What and when do I plan to eat? So I check in with my groups, I respond to emails, I journal, then I read. And since this is kind of my morning work block, I don't read for a long time. I might read for 10 or 15 minutes and then I get to my next work thing. While the work part is static, the type of work, the kind of work I'm doing varies day to day, but I do block out the days of my week. For example, and I've talked about this before, some of you have probably heard this. Mondays is when I do audios for Alexa and audios for my daily coaching channel for my clients, and it's when I do blogs. It had been for a while.
I don't know that one.
There goes, yeah. She just, I don't know if you guys just heard her talking to me. I'm not going to say her name, but Alexa. Hope I spelled that right. So Mondays have a set standard work thing that I am doing that I dive into. When I was writing my book, certain days of the week, I would dive right into writing. Certain days of the week are when I record podcasts, etc. The night before, I've already decided what specifically I'll do. So even when I know it's Monday and I know that means audios, I've already defined what they will be, the topics they will be, so that I can be more efficient in getting right into that. Then I go to the gym. The time of day I go to the gym varies. I am not somebody who goes at the same time every single day because, like most of you, my days look different. Sometimes I go at 7 a.m., sometimes at 9 a.m., sometimes at 3 p.m. But the important thing is I've decided the night before. My list for the following day or my loose schedule is decided the night before. So as far as my evening routine, it varies, of course. Am I home? Am I out? Did I eat at home? Did I go out to dinner? Did I have a late webinar with my clients, etc.? But there are a few things that are really standard, and I'll share those simple things with you. I get my coffee ready for the next morning. As silly as that sounds, I grind my coffee beans and I load them into the coffee pot and I add the water and I rinse it out from the day before and all of that stuff. And then I schedule it. So my alarm always goes off at between 4:30 and 4:45, depending on the night before and what time I went to bed. But I set my coffee pot for 15 minutes before my alarm is set. That way, when my alarm goes off, I know my coffee is ready. I don't like feeling like, oh, I have to get the coffee ready and then I have to wait for it to brew. Silly, but it helps me. It helps me get out of bed in the morning because I know my coffee is hot and ready to go. The other thing that I do is, as I mentioned, make sure my list of things to tackle is prepared for the next day. And then I clean my house every night. Now, I live in a tiny house, which makes it easier, but when I didn't, even when I had a traditional house, I would clean my kitchen and my bathroom and my bedroom. It's easier to keep up than it is to catch up, so it's not like this was a 45-minute endeavor. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, that would take me forever, I would argue that if it's something you do every day, it really only takes a minute or two per room. So I always make sure that, you know, the counters are clean and the dishes are done and there's not random clutter in the bathroom and all my clothes in the bedroom are put up. That is something that I do every night. I just feel like routines make life easier. And the more mental bandwidth we have, we can use that for areas that are more challenging, that require more mental capacity, like making great food choices. Okay, the next question says, my biggest problem is my all or nothing, black or white, on or off thinking. I can be trucking right along, eating healthy, and then one mistake totally derails me. I know that technically this could be turned around by my next best choice, but I'm in such a habit of eating all the things once I eat off track. For me, I try to eat relatively low carb. When I deviate from this, I sabotage my whole day. Here's how yesterday went. I ate a fat loss friendly breakfast. I had low carb chili for lunch. Then during a meeting, someone gave out Halloween chocolates. I ate two mini M&M pouches. When I got home, I ate garlic bread, tons of peanut butter, a huge bowl of chili with crackers, and then fruit. All because of those two tiny chocolate pouches. I know this is a mindset thing. I've got to work on it. Do you have any journal suggestions when this happens? If I could correct this mindset, I know I would be a better person. I'm willing to do the work. This person is so right that it is 100% mindset. And I actually sent this person an audio response, and I'm going to play part of that response for you right now. Here is the deal. Your perspective is what is screwing you up. Because when you say, I'm trucking right along and then one mistake totally derails me, it's actually not true. The mistake itself doesn't derail you. Your thoughts about that mistake convince you to say, screw it, I blew it, what's the point? So it is not the one mistake that is the problem. It is the perspective. It's not deviating from low carb that is the problem. It is the perspective you have chosen that says, screw it, I blew it, what's the point, I'm done. So this has nothing to do with food. And I know you said it's a mindset thing. Journal suggestions when it happens, nope, I don't. It really is the perspective, because what you journal is purely a function of how you're thinking, right? So what I want you to really work on is the more honest and true perspective than the story you just told me. Because the story you just told me not only takes the past and projects it onto the present and the future, you're not saying, I've done this before. You are saying, the way it has been up until now is the way it is and the way it will be. That's a big problem. I want you to work on the perspective that you are free in any moment to choose differently. And there is nothing about having a cookie. There is nothing about one, as you call it, mistake. I call it choice. I don't see any mistake in what you sent me. There is nothing about that singular choice that throws you into anything. It is only your perspective that takes you there. You said, if you could correct this mindset, you know you would be a better person. There's no could about it. You 1000% can, but you have to choose to stop telling this story where you project the past onto the present and the future, where you blame the next choice on the previous one. The fact is, they're totally unrelated. So your journaling stems from your mindset. Really work on the mindset of, I am capable of doing something different today. I am free in every moment to create a new choice. It is not true that one bad choice puts me in a spiral. Nope, none of that is true. The reality is that I choose, and then I choose again, and then I choose again. Strip away the drama, strip away the story, practice the more balanced, the more accurate, the more true mindset. That is the biggest piece of advice I can give you. Have a great day and stay in touch. All right. On to the next question. Can you talk about the impact of diet on hormones and libido? Yes, I would be happy to. I love talking about hormones. I think they are fascinating and very much understood, like not sufficiently understood. As for the impact of diet on hormones, I did an entire hormone mini-series on the podcast way back when, and since then, I've done, oh my gosh, easily 10 episodes on the impact of what we eat, how much we eat, and when we eat on hormones. A great place to start would be with episodes 11 through 14 of the podcast. So episodes 11, 12, 13, and 14 were the first hormone mini-series I did. If you have questions about the impact of diet on hormones, that is such a broad conversation because we're talking about insulin, estrogen, thyroid hormones, ghrelin, glucagon, you name it. There is a whole slew of it. So definitely start with episodes 11 through 14 for the impact of diet on our hormones. I will happily address libido. I don't think that's something that's come up all too often, though it has a few times on the podcast. The first thing we've got to keep in mind is that our hormones drive the show in our lives. Our hormones influence energy, metabolism, overall health, sleep, fat loss, weight gain, performance, sex drive, everything. And the number one way we influence our hormones is what we eat. what we eat, when we eat, how much we eat have a massive impact on hormones. So sometimes when people have any kind of hormonal dysregulation, whether it is estrogen dominance or low testosterone or low thyroid function, sometimes we think we need to fix it with pills. And that can absolutely be a strategy. Not here to knock it, not a medical doctor. But what we often overlook is that we can dramatically influence our hormone balance, optimize our hormones through what we eat, when we eat, how much we eat. And then two other things that are completely within our control that have a massive impact on hormones are stress and sleep. What we eat, when we eat, how much we eat, our stress response, and our sleep can change the game and make massive improvements in our hormones, whether we're talking about thyroid, whether we're talking about insulin, or whether we're talking about sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and their impact on libido. All of our hormones are an interconnected network. So if you think that your diabetes doesn't impact your sex drive, you are wrong. If one hormone is out of whack, whether that is insulin or it is estrogen, it impacts all the rest. You do not influence any one hormone in isolation. They are an interconnected network, always communicating. And so if one is not optimized, the rest are being impacted by that. When we talk about sex drive, libido, if you are not eating well, your sex drive suffers. If you are overweight, your sex drive suffers. If you are not sleeping well, your sex drive suffers. If you are not managing your stress, your sex drive suffers, right? The first place to start with libido is nutrition, right? When we talk about nutrition strategies for hormone optimization, we've done dozens of episodes on that. So I will defer back to episodes 11 through 14 for kind of what does that mean? How do I eat well if I want to improve my libido? Take a listen to episodes 11 through 14. If you want to improve, restore your libido, eat better, lose weight, cut out processed foods, increase your consumption of fat from good quality whole food sources, because fat is the primer for all of our hormones. So whether that is avocado or it's coconut, that sort of thing is going to be important. Really dial back the sugar. Work on reducing stress. Change your mindset so you're not always getting triggered and irritated by the tiniest of things that don't matter, and get more sleep. But also, have more sex. If you want to improve your libido, have more sex. I have heard this talked about in terms of going to the gym. If you only go to the gym when you're super pumped to go to the gym, you're not going to go very often. And you're not going to increase your desire to go. You're going to kind of see it as a chore, right? But if you go to the gym when you don't really want to go to the gym and you do that consistently, you will find yourself wanting to go more. And sex is a lot like that. I'm not here to have a conversation about, you know, desire versus, you know, having sex when you don't want to have sex and all of that. It's just true. It's just true. Do with it what you please. Next question. How do I get my family to accept my eating habits and the way I feed my kids? You don't need to. I say don't. You don't need anybody to approve of the way you eat or the way you feed your kids. Don't waste your energy on it. And while you're on the topic, you don't have to approve of the way anybody else eats either, because it's not your business. Stay in your lane. Your family does not need to accept your eating habits, and your family does not need to accept the way you feed your kids. Don't waste your energy on trying to get people on board with how you choose to eat or feed your people. Don't. Next question. What are some of your favorite podcasts? So I listen to and read more books than I do podcasts, and I don't listen to really any podcasts about nutrition. I don't know. It's just not how I want to spend my time. I do read a lot of books, but I would say my two favorite podcasts are Serial, like the rest of the world, true crime podcast, and Revisionist History with Malcolm Gladwell. Every once in a while, I will listen to Storybrand by Donald Miller, or sometimes the Jocko podcast with Jocko Willink, who wrote Discipline Equals Freedom. But those shows are so, so long, I almost never get through an entire episode. Rule Breaker, Investing, Startup, Tara Brach, who has meditations and things like that. Bigger Pockets is a real estate podcast. The Dave Ramsey Show, or Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership podcast. I used to listen to the CrossFit podcast, but I think they might have stopped putting out new episodes. It's been a good couple of months since they released one. But yeah, if I had to say like my favorite, I would say Serial and Revisionist History. Next question says, after you've been on this journey for a while, health, fat loss, etc., how do you adjust your, quote, want to? In short, how do you keep yourself motivated? This answer will be different for every single person because we all respond to different things. Motivation looks different for everybody. What I have found to be true for myself is that I can manufacture motivation. And I think that that difference in how I see it is an important distinguishing factor there. It's not that I keep myself motivated. I manufacture motivation every day and often multiple times a day. And I do this for me. What works for me is by getting really clear about what I want and by knowing and accepting and embracing the fact that that will change. For example, in this case, like how do you stay motivated when you've been on the journey for a while? For myself, my initial motivation was to lose weight. Period. I wanted to shop in stores that weren't plus size stores. I wanted to fit into an airplane seat without worrying that I was going to be uncomfortable or that, you know, my butt was going to be spilling over into somebody else's seat. That was my motivating factor. But that's not it anymore. So if I was continually trying to motivate myself to lose weight when it wasn't really what my burning desire anymore, well, of course I would struggle to be motivated. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They continue to try to get motivated to do something that isn't really what they want anymore. I'll again use myself as an example because everybody's motivating forces are going to be different. While I could absolutely lose more weight based on where my body is right now, it's not what I want right now. It was really what I wanted for a long time, but if I was continuing to wake up every day and be like, oh, how do I motivate myself to lose more weight? It comes down to, is that really what you want right now? And so for me, the answer is no. So asking that question, what do I really want? What can I get excited about? For me right now, that's just not weight loss. That's not good or bad. It's just not my driver right now. There are other things that get me really excited and fired up to live my best life in a way that doesn't have to do with the size of my pants. It's just not something that really resonates with me right now. It did for a long time, and I'm glad that it did, because at that time, when that was my goal, I was very unhealthy and I was obese and I wasn't happy with the way I looked or the way I felt in my body. But that has shifted for me, and so my motivation has shifted, and I feel that the best way to motivate yourself is to be open to the fact that what you want can change and really touch base with yourself on what it is that you want. Not what you think you should want, not what you think other people want for you. I know for sure that if I took a poll of 100 people in my life, there would be people who say that they think that I should be focused on losing weight right now. I don't care because I'm not here for them. And I am the only one who can get clear on what I want and what excites me, right? What do I want? Right now, for me, I want less stress and more laughter and more freedom in my life, specifically more financial freedom in my life. So by bringing my attention to what I want every day, connecting with it daily, then from there I say, so what can I do about it today? What will I do about it today? Get clear on what you want and get clear about what you will do to create it today. Next question says, is sparkling water good for you? Well, everything in life is a spectrum, right? Compared to what? Is spinach good for you? Anybody that gives a carte blanche yes or no answer is really missing the mark, because spinach has a lot of great things and spinach also has things that won't work for me. And I use that as an example, as I've shared with you guys before, spinach is not healthy for me right now because of the oxalates, and my individual microbiome does not have enough of the type of bacteria that break down oxalates. And so for me, the answer is spinach is not healthy. I use that example with sparkling water because we have to look at the individual. For me, I drink a lot of sparkling water and I love it. And it's just not a big rock for me right now. However, what I try to avoid is drinking any kind of water out of plastic, because I want to minimize my exposure to toxins, especially those that are in a lot of plastics. My overarching short version of this answer is that sparkling water is not a big rock for almost anybody, but you have to look at how it makes you feel. If you're drinking gallons of sparkling water every day and you're gassy and bloated, might be good to dial back. But I think most people can look at their lifestyle, their diet, their choices, their priorities, and be like, yeah, sparkling water is not what I need to focus on right now. I have bigger fish to fry. Let's see here. Can dairy be part of a fat loss friendly diet? Can dairy be part of a fat loss friendly diet? Absolutely. I mean, let's be real. Cookies and pizza can be too, right? You can have a cookie every once in a while and have your lifestyle set you up for fat loss. So abso-freaking-lutely. When we talk about a fat loss diet, we're talking about the way we eat to get results and feel great. And you can incorporate almost anything within reason into that definition. As for dairy specifically, it comes down to, are you sensitive to it or not? Are you eating it when your body needs fuel, or are you just eating it because you love it when your body doesn't need fuel and so it's contributing to giving your body more fuel than it needs? What kind of dairy are you eating, right? There's a difference between, if we're talking about, say, butter or Greek yogurt or ice cream. And it also comes down to what else and how much are you eating. But the answer is yes, of course, dairy can be part of a fat loss friendly diet. And I talk about dairy in a ton of detail, if you're curious to know more about it, in episodes 25 and episodes 128. And I will link to those episodes on the show notes for today's episode at primalpotential.com/528. Next question says, do you have any tips for teaching children healthy habits? Yes. Tip number one, set an amazing example. Tip number two, set an amazing example. Tip number three is follow tip numbers one and two. It really is the most important thing. You can't teach your kids healthy habits when you are binge eating, when you are overeating, when you view food as good or bad and you beat yourself up and get crazy dramatic because you had pizza and beer last night, or when you're in a bad mood all morning because you can't wear the jeans you wanted to wear because they don't fit well. So set a good example. Beyond that, I think doing what you can to not just for your kids, but for yourself, because they will see how you act around food and what you think about food, but really work for yourself first. And then, of course, with your children, to stay away from the whole good food, bad food thing, because the reality is that a cookie is not bad. It doesn't mean that we eat 12 of them, but a lot of overeating stems from emotions and guilt that are learned behaviors stemming from the assignment of, like, value, good, bad, etc. But honestly, set a good example. If you yourself have healthy habits, if you yourself model them, if you yourself are healthy, if you yourself walk the walk and talk the talk, you're good. Somebody said, I would like to hear more on your food choices and your unique combinations of food. So I am happy to share about what I eat, and I feel like I do a lot of this on the show and on the blog and that sort of thing. I don't think my food combinations are all that unique, but I know that to some people maybe they are. So the only way that I can think to answer this question is to just share with you guys some things that I've eaten very recently. Last night, before a webinar, I had a late webinar and I didn't feel like cooking and cleaning up and doing all of that. I got a can of salmon and I put it in a bowl and mixed it together with some Primal Kitchen Chipotle Lime Mayo and some hemp hearts. So maybe some people think that that's a unique combination. The night before that for dinner, I had steak and eggs. If I go out to eat for breakfast, I will do veggies and meat. Eggs, meat, veggies. The same thing is true if I go out for lunch or dinner. Meat and veggies, whether that is a salad with protein or it is a steak with veggies or a piece of fish and a salad, sashimi, any of a burger without the bun, anything like that. Things that I make at home, my cabbage salad bowl, I love. Most of my clients who try it also really like it. I'll put that link in the show notes over at primalpotential.com/528. I grill a lot of chicken breasts, chicken thighs. I prefer chicken thighs. I grill steak. I like ground meat, whether that's ground beef or ground pork or ground turkey. I like to do that with spaghetti squash or with cauliflower rice. But my food combinations come from the proteins and the vegetables and the fats that I really love. Some of my favorite fats, avocado, I'm a huge fan. I don't like to eat coconut like the meat, but I really like coconut oil and coconut butter. I like macadamia nuts, but I don't eat a lot of nuts. I eat meat. I eat veggies. I try to minimize starch and sugar. My favorite vegetables are Brussels sprouts, cauliflower rice, spaghetti squash. I eat real food. You won't find much in my house that is packaged, and I prefer it that way because it makes me feel my best. But if you have specific questions about like what I eat, just let me know or follow me on Instagram. What are your thoughts on caffeine and weight loss? So I've done an episode on this. I can't remember the episode number off the top of my head. Caffeine can mess with cortisol. And it can trigger inflammation. So my biggest thought on caffeine and weight loss is you don't want it to impair your sleep, because sleep and being well rested is a huge part of metabolic efficiency and optimization. So if you are drinking caffeine and it's keeping you up, then I would say dial it back, because if you are not well rested, if you are not sleeping enough, it will impair your ability to burn fat. Personally, I don't drink caffeine usually after 11 or 12, so 11 a.m. or 12 noon. There are rare exceptions. If I know I'm going to be out late or I need to stay up late, I might push it to like 2 in the afternoon. But generally speaking, I have a cutoff point for myself, and I would definitely recommend that for somebody who has trouble sleeping, because sleep is a critically important part of being able to burn fat. Beyond that, we have to think of it as a stimulant, which can trigger inflammation. But there are lots and lots and lots of ways to combat inflammation. Stress reduction, reducing foods to which you are sensitive. I think the key is paying attention to, are you getting results, and is caffeine your biggest rock? Like, is caffeine the thing that is the biggest challenge in your lifestyle, your diet? If that is the case, then definitely try dialing it back and see how it impacts your results, see how it impacts how you feel. But it's definitely something that I think can be incorporated, but it also is something that can be problematic. Next question. How often do you work out? 5 or 6 days a week, usually 6. Whether it's 5 or 6 depends on my own schedule. There could be a day or two where I just can't get to the gym. It also depends on the intensity of my workouts. Sometimes either I will decide or my trainer will suggest taking an extra rest day and I will do that. But yeah, 5 or 6. You've talked a lot about tracking day-to-day diet and fitness and finding out what is or is not working for you. How long would you say you should stick with a tactic if you're not seeing results? I know this would vary person to person, but what are some things to consider? Yeah, it's impossible to say 3 days, 2 weeks, etc., but I will give you some things to consider. First, are you being consistent with it? It's impossible to judge a tactic if you aren't being consistent, and most people are not being consistent. Is the change you've made an improvement for you? And is it a significant improvement, right? If you've just made this tiny little tweak, like I used to put 2 tablespoons of heavy cream in my coffee and now I'm doing 1, that's such a small change that you're not going to see fast results from something. So the smaller the change, the more time you have to give it. The other thing is, what other factors are at play here? If you switch up your breakfast, say from a bowl of cereal to bacon and eggs, but you're still overeating at lunch and dinner, you're not likely to see a real impact from that change. So you have to look at what else could be at play here. And in addition to food factors that could be at play, are you way more stressed than normal? Have you been sick? Have you not been sleeping well? What other factors are at play here? General rule of thumb is going to be a couple weeks of consistency, but it totally depends on the degree of the change and what else is happening in your diet, in your lifestyle, etc. All right, there are a couple other questions, but they're all very specific questions about one of the new sponsors that I added to the show, Fabletics. So as you guys know, I am very, very, very picky about allowing people to get airtime on this show. The only other sponsor that we have is Thrive Market, and I turn down sponsorship offers constantly because it's not about the money, it's about the message. And I'm not comfortable giving anybody airtime if I don't 1000% believe in what they do. So there's been a little bit of misconception I wanted to clear up about becoming a VIP with Fabletics. So what I shared with you guys is that when you shop from Fabletics through my link, fabletics.com/primalpotential, you get their 2 for $24 legging deal, which is just a ridiculous steal because, as I shared with you, if you're getting leggings for working out from Reebok or Nike or Lulu, you're spending close to or over $100 for one pair of leggings, which is crazy. And I've done it. But the Fabletics deal is 2 pairs for $24 when you go through that link. But that link does require that you sign up to be a VIP. That is not a membership program. So you don't get charged to be a member. The way that it works is as follows. When you become a VIP through Fabletics and you take advantage of that deal to get these freaking phenomenal leggings for like a crazy low price, you fill out a survey that basically says, these are the kinds of things that I want to wear. These are the things that I don't want to wear. So like for me, I want bras that are full coverage and I want leggings that are full length. I'm not really interested in like booty shorts or anything like that. I'm not interested in long sleeve shirts with like big cutouts on the back or anything like that. So style preferences. And then on the first of every month, they send you out via email, they send you links to outfits that you might like at a deep discount based on your preferences. So on the first of every month, I get an email from Fabletics because I'm a VIP member that says, Elizabeth, your monthly picks are ready. We've selected these outfits that we think you would like based on your preferences. And I can either shop and buy them or I can skip the month. What that means is basically there's a link and it says, I want to skip this month. I don't want to buy anything this month. If after 5 days you haven't either purchased something or skipped the month, what they'll do is they'll charge you $49 that is a credit on your account. So it is not a membership fee. They are not taking your money. They're basically saying, this money is now on your Fabletics.com account so that you can shop with it. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get charged $49 a month. Yeah, me neither. Which is why you have 5 days and all you have to do is click the link in the email that says, I want to skip the month. And if you do that, you don't get charged anything. What I do personally, when that email comes on the first of the month, I use Gmail for my email provider so I can star the email. And as soon as I see it come in, I hit the star, which reminds me to go back to it. And then at some point in the next 5 days, I just open up the email. And if there's not anything that I'm totally dying for or need or like, I just hit skip. Then you don't get charged anything at all. So you don't ever have to be charged by Fabletics if you just open up the email and hit skip. So they're not charging you for being a VIP. I wanted to be really clear about that. There were a bunch of questions about which specific leggings I like best, because as I've shared with you, I've bought a ton of them and I really, really love them. But my favorite ones are the high-waisted power hold leggings, either in full length or 7/8 lengths. I personally like high-waisted because of my workouts when I'm jumping and running and doing a lot of like up-down kind of stuff with burpees and things like that. I don't want to be pulling them up. So my favorite of all the ones I've bought are the high-waisted power hold leggings. They're comfortable. They are super flattering and they stay put really well. The two colors that I like best, there is one called Salar. I think that's how you pronounce it. S-A-L-A-R. It's like a dark steel blue. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And then I recently got the charcoal camo, which isn't like a traditional green camo. It's a little bit darker than that. It still has some green in it, but more like grays and blacks. And I really like those as well. Somebody asked what I have not liked from Fabletics. And I think I already shared one thing that I didn't like with you guys. The Tammy sports bra didn't give me the coverage I want for my workouts. But for somebody that maybe doesn't have a big boobs like I do, might work really well. Or if your workouts are lower intensity, you might love it. I kept it. I didn't return it. Super easy to return through them. I kept it. And I wear it just kind of around the house or if I'm having kind of a casual clothing day out in the world, but I'm not working out. I think it's really cute, but it just doesn't work for me. So definitely try it out. As I shared with you before, my mom told me she heard this, that spoiler alert, for Christmas, I got her, took advantage of that deal to get her those leggings and a couple of things since she started recently at a CrossFit box. But yeah, just go through fabletics.com/primalpotential. Then you can get that crazy steal on the leggings. And if you have questions about it, let me know. Yes, they do sponsor the show, but they sponsor the show because I've been a customer since 2014. So if you've got questions about stuff, let me know, especially those of you that are CrossFit athletes and you're like, okay, I know that you're probably like me. And when you see double unders or box jumps, you wear a different bra than if you don't see double unders or box jumps. So what's your double unders sports bra? Shoot me an email and I would be happy to. If you don't do CrossFit, you're like, wait, what? You pick your bra based on the workout? Oh, yeah. Abso-freaking-lutely. So yeah, just shoot me an email, direct message me on Instagram, or leave a comment on the show notes, primalpotential.com/528. All right, friends, that is all we've got time for today. Thanks to everybody who sent the questions in, and I would be more than happy to do this kind of episode again to answer more of your questions. So keep me posted. Have an awesome day, and I'll chat with you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/podcast. join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.